Jesus, in your precious name. Oh, and how we love your name. How I love to just come in your name. Over and over and over and over in Jesus' name. Oh, all power is given in that name. Oh, but it's the power of love that strikes my heart when I say, Jesus, Lord, I know that you're for me. Oh, I know, Lord, that by your grace you adore your own. You cannot forsake your own. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your wonderful love. Father, thank you for the love plan. Thank you, Lord, that it is all in your Son, your magnificent, beautiful Son. Oh, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, we thank you again that in him we're brand new. We're like him. Thank you, God, that Christ lives in us. Let us rejoice today. Let us see just a little more beauty of him, Lord God, and let it grow up in us. We give you the thanks and praise for this opportunity to come to gather in your name and in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bibles to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're in a point of scripture where Paul is encouraging his precious brother Timothy. And he tells him here in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he said, you know, greatly desiring to see thee, Timothy, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And here it is today. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, brothers and sisters, Timothy, at this point where Paul writes this, has been walking in Paul's gospel for 14 years. For 14 years, he has been under Paul's care. He's been with Paul on journeys. He has seen such miraculous healings. Most importantly, he has been encouraged and heard the word of God come forth with such boldness. By the grace of God that was with Paul, he saw Paul endure all of these afflictions, but Paul saying, oh, but it wasn't me, it was always the grace of God, son, that was with me. Never took any credit, just always rejoicing in the grace of God. But as we see here, something is lacking in Timothy. Even after these 14 years of this intense fellowship with Paul and in Paul's gospel, and there were things that hindered him. If you look at verse 7 in this chapter, Paul says, Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, Timothy, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What is the power of God? It's the love of God. Timothy, embrace these afflictions. Don't be ashamed of mine, and don't be afraid to suffer for Christ's sake. The power of the love of God is great love for you. It will take you through. It won't only just take you through, it'll lift you and carry, and you'll be so glad for the sufferings together with Christ. And then in verse 13, look at this one. He encourages Timothy, this was waning too, hold fast the form of sound words. Boy, when it gets tough, when it gets hard, and I'll tell you what, maybe God has had you to wait and to wait. And he sent, just like Job, a few good friends. You know those good friends that say you're too passionate about the Lord, or you're a few good friends that have a real good idea. You know, you need to take this into your own hands. You need to make this happen and quit waiting on God. Huh? Oh, no. Hold fast the form of sound words. Embrace them like never before, Timothy, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice how he put the love in there. He could have just said faith, but it wasn't just going to be faith. The only way you're going to lay hold of faith is love. Praise God. So see, brothers and sisters, these are some very serious trials. And you know what? We can all relate to these. Amen? Oh, yeah. You know why? Because we've all been there. But Paul, praise the Lord, he knows the cure. Paul knows exactly what Timothy needs because Paul was right there too. Remember in Romans 7, Paul says, "Oh, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do." So what is this gift then that Paul is encouraging Timothy to stir up that was given to Timothy by the putting on or the laying on of Paul's hands? Go on over to Acts 8 and we'll begin to look into this and rejoice. By the putting on of my hands, Timothy, stir up that gift that was there by the laying on of my hands, Timothy. And in Acts 8, verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So they were saved, baptized, but they hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." And notice, they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands..." And you know what Simon saw there? He saw them speaking in tongues is what he saw there. That's how he knew it. "But as Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.'" So we see these hands are speaking of here the infilling or the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Go on over to chapter 9. We'll read it of it again. Make sure we see that there's much testimony of this, so there is no doubt of what Paul is encouraging Timothy to. Chapter 9 of Acts, verse 17. "Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul,'" matter of fact, this is Paul, you know that, those that know the word of God. See, when Ananias went his way, he was the one that God told, he says, "You received this Christian killer into your house. I've just met him on the road to Damascus. He's just accepted me as his Savior. He knows me. Now I want you to pray over this man. And praise God, he's going to receive the Holy Ghost at your home." Thanks be to God. Ananias, I'm confident, said, "Lord, you sure? This guy will come in and kill me." But oh no, he believed the Lord, didn't he? This is some of the stuff we'll talk about tonight. The Spirit of the Lord speaking. Praise God. What a wonderful Lord we have. "And Ananias, when he went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" Praise God. So we see those hands again. And there was an infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go on over to chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. We'll read it again here. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples," praise God, these were ones that loved Jesus, they were disciples, "and he said unto them, 'Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?'" I just love that, don't you? How are we going to argue with that? Let's not. So we have saved disciples. "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Come on now. We know that this is something more. "And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'What were you baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' Then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him whom which should come after me, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them," oh my, "the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." How wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. So brothers and sisters, I believe this leaves no doubt what gift that Paul is referring to in encouraging Timothy. Timothy, this is your cure. You need to stir up. You need to be more full of the Holy Ghost. See, Timothy had already received the Holy Ghost. He'd already been filled. He didn't need to get filled. He didn't need to get refilled. He's already filled. Amen. Know it. Timothy, you need to stir it up because you need to be full. Amen. Now, I believe Paul in this encouragement, brothers and sisters, is telling Timothy, you know what? It began, Timothy, and it continues on your knees. Oftentimes, I'll tell you, on your face. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to stir it up. And a big part of stirring it up, a big part, and I do believe it is a big part, is going ahead and allowing the Lord to continue the tongue language as you praise Him in spirit and in truth. Come on now. This is part of yielding, brothers and sisters, submitting to God. And I'll give this to the men, especially at this time. We got to get over being macho and get into the beauty of the love of Jesus. We do need to begin. I'll tell you what, you'll be so strong as a man of God like never before when you begin to live as a wife readied for Jesus. Do you get that? You'll be a man you never knew you could be when you submit and surrender to the kisses of His mouth. Oh my. Anybody leave? Everybody still here? Okay. I'm telling you, God's mining, and this isn't for sissies. This is for ones that love Him. These are lovers. Brothers, if we are really going to have a heart after God's own heart, we too must be as a David. And you know what David was encouraged? Dance before me, son. Oh, and he just couldn't help but dance. And not only did he danced in his underwear. And not only did he dance in his underwear, he danced before everybody. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm thanking God He is giving us a better thing, because that's not a real pretty sight for us right now. But I do believe there is a type and an equivalence in that, in the precious tongues that He's given us today. Even a better thing, because by the grace of God, we can believe by faith and enter into that any time. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, it is so beautiful. The Holy Ghost is a gift, and it's a gift, praise God, that can only be received by a believer. It is a gift that you receive after you have believed as Christ Jesus as your Savior. And you know you got the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know that you got the gift of the Holy Ghost when you speak in tongues. And that's the truth. Go on over to Acts 10. We've read many witnesses of it right now, but let's just kind of settle on it as we go further today. But in Acts 10, let's just go to verse 44. It says in Acts 10, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise God! Clear to the light. Amen? Quit wrestling with the Word of God. So wonderful. And if you read on here, these ones even received the gift of the Holy Ghost even before they got baptized in the name of Jesus. That's right. Praise the Lord. But the one thing is, you'll always have to receive Jesus as Savior before you'll ever be filled with the Holy Ghost. Know that. But brothers and sisters, the joy and the zeal and the fire for bridal truth comes only from living and abiding in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. See, we can know the message of the bridal truth, but then it just becomes something kind of mechanical. that we can just spit it out. Oh, I can take you to this scripture, this scripture, this scripture, this scripture. But I want the real backing of it, which is love shed abroad in my heart by the grace of God, that they would mark me by the grace of God to say, you know what? That man really knows that Jesus loves him. It's not about how much I love him. No, I'll tell you what, I do love him. But it's all about how much he loves me. How immensely, how intensely, how divinely, how perfectly that he has placed us. Praise be to God. This is why people sometimes, and I'm talking about God's precious people, they say, oh, I wish I lived in a different time. I wish I could go back 40 years ago. I wish I could go back 4,000 years ago. Moses' time was really good. Let me tell you something. Moses had problems too. But I'll tell you what, we've got better promises. We've got a better thing. We have the opportunity right now to know the love of Christ in a relationship with Jesus as his readied wife. That was something that the prophets, they wanted to look into. They wrote of those things. Moses wrote of those things. Daniel wrote of those things. Isaiah wrote of those things. They all wrote of those things. But it wasn't for them. It was for us. God so loved you, he was using mighty men and women of God to write you love letters. Have you ever really come to grasp that? He was using the mighty men and women of the Old Testament to write unto you his love letters. I don't think I've ever thought of that. Well, I couldn't anyways. It had to be the Spirit, doesn't it? See, that's why I love to come to church. Who knows what you might hear here? Praise God. But see, it's the Holy Ghost that even caused you to fall in love with him to begin with. Amen? Was it not? Wasn't it the Holy Ghost that just came in and said, oh, my goodness. Let me tell you how much the Lord loves you. Let me put these bracelets on you and earrings. Let me tell you that the Master has sent me to have you to be his son's bride. Oh, yeah. That was the Holy Ghost that did that. That wasn't any vessel. That was the Holy Ghost that did that. And it is that same Holy Ghost and the love shed abroad that causes you to continually not only stay, but grow more and more and more in love, in truth in love. Isn't that wonderful how the Word of God is? In truth in love with Jesus Christ. How awesome! Now, just like coals of a fire, my son had to show me again the other day when we were up at the cabin and the fire was going out, and I'm a little slow. I don't pay attention to a lot of different things, and that's okay, because then I learn. As long as you learn. He said, Dad, take this thing, that, you know, that puffer thing? He starts puffing it in there. Oh, my goodness. I said, that's pretty neat. I know you're laughing at me. Say, are you that stupid? Sure. It's all right. I'll tell you on myself. But he showed me that. And I said, oh man, that's so neat and that's great. But see, what that spoke to me more than him showing me something new is this is how we need the Spirit's second wind and third wind and fourth wind and that mighty wind of God if we're really going to go on with him. It's not going to come any other way. You think you can hold out? You think you can just march into this bridal glory on your own merit and in your own discipline? Let me tell you something, cold rock. And that's exactly what you become. And you're not looking up anymore. The evidence is when you go that way, you begin to look at all the other people and you begin to tell them how wrong they are and how messed up they are. And if you really have the love of God in your heart, you'll tell people, oh, look at him. Look at how beautiful he is. And can you imagine that life lives in you? That's what will transform you. That's what will cause you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what will cause you to lay aside these weights that hold you down and all these things that you thought defined you for all your life. You'll recognize, oh, Lord, I'm brand new. I'm new. I'm forever new. Hallelujah. Old things are all passed away, and all things have been made new. Isn't that awesome? Now, if you're selectively thinking that's only for your life and not for your brother down the pew, then you're not living new. Because when you live new, you'll live new for the whole body of Christ. And there'll be love. There'll be transforming love. Ones that'll really want to go after Him and magnify Him. They'll say, I want to go that way. I want to go the lover's way. I want to quit going in my flesh and what I think is my obedience. And I want that tender bridegroom and His hand to navigate me all the way through. And to say, as I stay on my knees every second of my life, to tell Him, oh Lord, that You have brought me this way, that I have been caused to see this. Oh, Your grace and oh, Your mercy. Because I know I have never sought it. For one moment, I have never sought it. It's all because of the grace of God that is with me. Yes, 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 yes. There is no glory but to Him. Now see, brothers and sisters, this is not just a stoic fight to win Christ. I think as you're beginning to perceive in those that maybe you mark to follow them as they follow Paul, as he followed Christ, it's an exuberant love fight. It's love that will win Christ. And that revelation of His love for you must increase continually if you're really going to marry Him. It does. I think even shows that even in our natural marriages. I know there's a euphoric love that you have, especially when you're courting and when you're engaged to someone. And there's nothing like it. It's awesome and amazing. But the marriages that go on, and I'm talking about going on in love, it's a love that grows deeper and wider and higher and in every way. There's a treasure that becomes. It's not just, again, this kind of the young roe heart, which you have to have in going after God, but then there's a treasure, there's a maturity. See, that's, again, the dimension of the bride. See, she's a lover and a fighter. Well, that lover loves with such great passion, but then in that fight, you know, there's a wisdom in that too. Amazing God and how He ministers the transformation of His love in you. But really, brothers and sisters, there is that treasure that we behold in that love as it matures. It becomes the greatest prize and the greatest, again, possession of our lives. And honestly, God types that for those that are married in a marriage that really types that love of Christ. That wife or that husband is a treasure. I'd mentioned many times to you, and I was always so thankful for it. When my dad went to be with the Lord, I never have seen a couple that ever surpassed the love for one another as my mom and dad. And I'm always so grateful to God I had that in the home. And they just absolutely adored one another. They would disagree at times, but love covered everything. And great love covered everything. Thank you, Jesus. But I always remember after my dad had gone to be with the Lord, I saw mom sitting at the table, and all she was doing was there was a letterhead with my dad's name and her name, which said Mrs. John Odorcio, and all she was doing was passing her hand across that name and across that name. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, what are you doing? And she looked up at me and she said, oh, I so love His name. Do you so love His name? I believe you do. I so love His name. I love His name. Now, I don't like to come back from that, but we have to for a moment. That gift that Paul is speaking of to Timothy to stir up the Holy Ghost, it's everything you need. The Holy Ghost is the one that takes all the things of Christ and He makes them yours. He shows that to you, brothers and sisters. He shows you perfect love. He shows you perfect faith. The times we have fear, like Timothy was having here, it says that he had fear. He needed power for something. Timothy needed more love. You always need more love. See, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love causes you to get past unbelief. Perfect love causes you to quit doubting. Amen? Perfect love of God solves it all. And that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does. And that's exactly what that stirring is. Get that love of God shed abroad in my heart. Amen? See, it's not just this, oh, we all need to sit around here, hold hands, and love one another. That is not it at all. It's the love of God. And it's the deep love of God. And yea, the deep things of the love of God. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about, as Paul's talking about here, loving one another in the bridal truth love of God. That's what this is. And thank you, Jesus, that God gives us this. But see, this gift has everything. You need to get over fear. You need more power. You need more love. You need your mind to stop racing. The Holy Ghost. You need more faith. It's waning. The Holy Ghost. But why do we fight it so? Why do we not yield to the power of the Holy Ghost? Why do we not take the encouragement from the Apostle Paul as he said, I am glad I speak in tongues more than ye all. Yes. Yes, 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 it's okay. We can say yes. Thank you, Lord. I've heard every excuse. I've heard reason after reason of why I no longer speak in tongues, or why I only needed to speak in tongues the time that I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's good for me. I got it. I've heard it. I understand it. But I have a question. Who are those that you mark in faith and love that truly are the magnificent examples of those who have followed Paul as he followed Christ? I'm talking in that full love joy to finish. I want you to think about it. I'm talking about standouts of those joy ones. Ones that praise God even in trial and in test, but yet they're joyful. Do I really need to point them out here today? I wouldn't do that. God does it, and he's the only one that does. But the one thing I will tell you that they all have in common, just as Paul, they light up in the Spirit. Fruit abounds. And yes, included in that is worship, praise the Lord, in tongues, in the Spirit. And I am confident to say this. I am sure it's a daily event. Yes. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm going to close it like this. How many here ever remember a gift, a real special gift that you received? Think about it for a second. A real special gift throughout your life. I can remember a couple of them that really meant a lot to me. When I was 16 years old, my parents got me a piano. I loved playing the piano, and they got me our first grand piano in our home. Then my second one, when I was 18, I got a new car. All those were very special gifts, and I remember it very well. But there's one gift that honestly exceeds any gift I've ever received. And that was when I was 13 years old, when I was up at Glacier View Camp. And it was nighttime, and I had been praying, and pretty much for a couple years at camp, nothing really been moving in that Holy Ghost on Jess. But all I do is I remember praying, and then there were these hands that came upon my back. Later, I found out that was my brother Jerry Tabor, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got the gift of the Holy Ghost that night, and I'm going to tell you something. It's the gift that keeps on giving. See, the piano gets out of tune. The car got old. I don't even know where the car is. Probably in a scrapyard now. But that gift of the Holy Ghost, it only gets better and more powerful and more wonderful. Moment by moment by moment. And brothers and sisters, in closing, I say this. With Paul, forbid ye not to speak in tongues. And may we too May we too have the same testimony as Brother Paul. I'm glad I speak in tongues more than they all. You want that testimony? Well, the Word of God even said as well, pray that ye may interpret. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But oftentimes we pass over, I believe, even the greater encouragement there was Paul, who I'm to follow as he followed Christ. I'm glad I speak more than ye all. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you again and just so appreciate the word, your precious word, your Son, and how the Spirit woos us in him and only him. Thank you, Lord, that it is so clear. Thank you, God, that your word is yea and amen. It's been tried those 7 times. And we thank God that it is absolute perfection. And Lord, thank you again for the Holy Ghost who leads us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, it's the Holy Ghost that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts to make the truth come alive in our lives. That the truth we possess for our own, that it's not just something that we read or something that we recite or something that hangs on the wall. That the truth, praise God, is what is alive and living in me. Now, Lord, grow it up in us. Cause us to be fiery ones. As those cherubim ones, Lord God, they were on fire. God, help us to make that move. Continue, Lord God, in our hearts. You must increase and I must decrease. That again, God, that we would be transparent. That, Lord, that the lowliness that we can take is the most beautiful place because that's the only place that ye are exalted fully. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful power of your might that does it all. We appreciate you beyond words. But, Lord, by your Spirit, you give us utterance. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.